Right now, an ancient tooth and modern technology have come together to identify a long-lost Egyptian mummy. Egypt's chief archaeologist, he joins us in a moment, announced today that CT scanning, DNA analysis, and a recently discovered tooth positively identify the mummy as that of Hatshepsut, one of the few female pharaohs who ruled Egypt. The journey to today's announcement took over 100 years, involved dozens of searches through massive underground crypts, modern technology, and lots of patience. If you have questions about the find, who Queen Hatshepsut was, and why her identification is so important, and why her mummy was lost for so long, give us a call. 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email talk@npr.org. And you can join the conversation on our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. Joining us now from Cairo is Zahi Hawass, Secretary General of Egypt's Supreme Council of Antiquities. He led the archaeological team that identified Queen Hatshepsut's mummy. And nice to have you on the program today.
Hello?
Zahi Hawass, welcome to the program. Nice to have you today.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Now, I understand the mummy itself was found over 100 years ago, only identified a couple of weeks ago. What took so long?
You know, the mummy was found by Howard Carter in 1903. And when I began to search for the mummy of Queen Hatshepsut, I thought that I should collect all the unidentified mummies of royal ladies. And I found there are 6 of them. And I began to take them to Cairo and do the CT scan of all of them. And I began to CT scan the father of Hatshepsut, Thothmes the first.
Right.
And the husband of Hatshepsut, Thothmes the second. And the stepson, Thothmes the third. And while I was doing the CAT scan, I found out that there is a box in the Cairo Museum that belonged to Hatshepsut. It has her name written hieroglyphic, and we thought before that this contained the liver of the queen.
Her liver.
And when I booked the CAT scan for that box, I found one tooth inside the box. I enlarged that tooth, and I found that this tooth belonged to the mummy that found by Howard Carter in 1903. And I did make the DNA of this mummy, that now we are sure that Queen Hatshepsut was Ahmes Nefertari, the grandmother lady, and I found they have similarities. And this is why I'm sure now that the mummy that I found belonged to Queen Hatshepsut, the female pharaoh that she ruled Egypt in the time of the Golden Age.
This is 3,500 years ago. Tell us a little bit about her and why she's considered so important.
You know, I found out that this mummy of Hatshepsut, she died in the age of 50. She had a very bad tooth, and she had diabetes, and she died of cancer. And that can show that Thothmes the third did not kill her, as people thought before. She died normally, and Thothmes the third took the throne after her.
Right.
She was a very powerful lady. She ruled for 20 years. She tried to act as a male pharaoh, and she built a great temple by her lover, Thinmut, at Deir el-Bahri in the west bank of Luxor, and a great obelisk in the temple of Karnak. And she even went to the country of Homs to bring incense for the temple. And she was really one of the greatest pharaohs, ruled Egypt in the time of the Golden Age of Egypt, about 1550 B.C.
Now, she was married by her half-brother, who ruled as pharaoh, and he died. Their son, she took over as regent of Egypt, and it was not her son that was the next in line.
Yeah, that stepson was Thothmes the third.
Yes.
And he was supposed to be the king of Egypt, but she took the throne from him. And I believe the reason that she took the throne, because she found out that a boy like this in the age of nine cannot be the pharaoh of Egypt. And she wants to restore the power of Egypt. And she took the throne, then she can return the power to Egypt.
And interestingly, though, you mentioned, obviously, a lot of people had wondered over these many, many years whether her Thutmose III had, in fact, had her killed. It turns out he did not. There's also been a lot of speculation over these many, many centuries over why she did not have him killed and then go on to serve as pharaoh. She kept him alive.
Yeah, you are right that she, people thought that she took the throne from him. She did take the throne for the sake of Egypt. And this is why I don't believe now the cities can prove that Thutmose III did not kill her. She died normally because of cancer.
And you mentioned that she, the pictures of her show her wearing the stylized beard and other aspects of male. Did Egyptians have a problem with a woman pharaoh?
Yes, Egyptians cannot, based on the religious belief, that they cannot have a female for all Egypt. They always, a man should be the pharaoh, but a man cannot rule without women. Then everything is set. And therefore, when she became a female pharaoh, she wanted the Egyptian to accept her. And she did say that the god Amun made love to her mother, and she became the daughter of the god. Then everyone would accept the daughter of the god to be the queen of Egypt, or the pharaoh of Egypt. If you go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, you'll find that she has many statues for herself as a male pharaoh to convince the Egyptian that she could rule the country.
Let's see if we can get a caller on the line. We're talking with Zaki Hawass, who's the head of Egypt's Supreme Council of Antiquities. He's on the line with us from Cairo. And this is Everett. Everett's with us from San Francisco.
Yes, Dr. Hawass, it's an honor to talk to you. I think your work is...
Thank you very much.
Yeah, your work has just been magnificent over the past couple of years. I was wondering if you could use the similar techniques to positively identify or rule out the identity of Queen Taya, who is Akhenaten's mother. I think there's a mummy that some people think is that queen. And what do you think?
You know, I have a project now called the Egyptian Mummy Project. We use a CT scan machine in the Cairo Museum that donated to us by the National Geographic, and the DNA lab donated to us by Discovery Channel. I will reveal many mysteries of many pharaohs. And Queen Taya is the one that I will work in September to find out something about her. Some people believe she's the elder lady in KV 35, the tomb of Amenhotep II. Then soon you will hear some good news about many pharaohs now, since I do have lots of technology that I can use to reveal the mystery of many pharaohs.
I understand, Dr. Hawass, that when this technology was first made available to you, you were a little skeptical about how useful it might be.
You know, because I always thought that you don't have any DNA lab of ancient mummies. All the DNA labs are not made for mummies. And this is why there is lots of mistakes can happen. I was against this at the beginning. And I see that many non-scientific people who really made the speculation of mummies. I wanted to have a DNA lab only for mummies, and I do have the one now, the only one in the world for mummies, and I do have an Egyptian team that really I can reveal mysteries, and I'm sure that this will be important. And this is why I am now doing this work now with a DNA lab that only for mummies, with an Egyptian team, we can learn a lot about mummies now.
Everett, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see if we get one more caller on the line. This is Karen. Karen's with us from Olesa in Kansas.
Hi, Dr. Hawass.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm great. This is so wonderful to speak with you. My husband and I started to recognize you long ago, and I wanted to thank you for our summer. My children, because of you and all of your work, have identified you, and they're so interested in Egypt this summer, and we've devoted the summer to studying Egypt, and they really, really want to know about Nefertiti.
You know, I think Nefertiti is better than the Valley of the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we did do a CT scan for the National Geographic, and there is a film is coming in this coming July 15th, to show that the mummy that was identified before as the mummy of Nefertiti is not Nefertiti anymore. And this is why I really believe that the technology that they do have now could reveal lots of important knowledge, and maybe one day we'll be able to reveal the mystery of this queen, Nefertiti.
Well, that would be great. And if you're ever in Kansas, we would love to have you come over for dinner.
And please tell your children to go to my website to send me letters.
We can do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Karen, thanks very much for the call.
You're welcome.
And Dr. Hawassa, I know that your Secrets of Egypt's Lost Queen, the broadcast is scheduled for July 15th on the Discovery Channel, where everyone will find out much more about Hatshepsut's mummy. And we thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Zahi Hawass is Secretary General of Egypt's Supreme Council of Antiquities, and he spoke with us on the line from Cairo.